Hello, everyone. This is Donovan LaCroixy. Welcome to another episode of Let's Talk Hip Hop, Let's Talk R&B, Let's Talk What's Going On in the Community. And debuting with me over the phone, I've got gospel artist Omega Edwards. How you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing good. Okay. You know, listeners, let me tell you the backstory to this. I'm just so excited, Omega, and I'm nervous at the same time because I reached out. Okay. A while ago, listeners, she did an interview with me on Zoom for the radio station, right? And then I wanted to bring Omega on this platform, but it didn't go as planned. And then months went by. I think it was July I reached out to her. And then, you know, stuff fell through. And then, you know what? Listeners, last month or 2 weeks before Christmas, she just emailed me saying, I didn't forget about you. And I was so excited. But you know what, Omega? I was listening to your music. And let me tell you, just the anointing of God in the music. It's real gospel music. And what's missing sometimes is real gospel music. I want to go back to the days where I feel like I want to go back to church and rip down the place and praise the Lord. Why am I not getting that real gospel music no more? But before you go into that, maybe you can explain yourself of who you are in case there are new listeners hearing about you for the first time.
Okay, well, my name is Omega. That is my given, my birth name. I am a student currently in school. I'm 22 years old, and I've been singing my whole life. I decided that I wanted to sing in junior kindergarten when I was asked to sing at my school concert, and I got a standing ovation, and I said, I want to do this for the rest of my life. And then once I got filled, I was like, I want to do this for God for the rest of my life. And I live in Toronto, where I go to church in, at Kingdom Life Ministries, who, Bishop Barrington E. Smith is the pastor. And, I guess a fun fact about me, I have two brothers. My favorite
is good. But how are you liking the gospel music in let me ask you maybe another question. Okay. How did you know to say, hey, you know what? I really want to do this for a living. I really want to sing.
It's actually a funny story. Sure. I was with my brothers and we were just hanging out and chilling. And I found one of them wanted to rap. When we were young, he wanted to be a rapper. And he went to my dad and he said, Dad, I want to be a rapper. I wrote this song and I want to record it. And this is when we're like very young. And so I'm witnessing this go on. And my dad said, okay, son, I will. Cause my dad is a sound engineer. So he said, okay, I will record it for you and we'll put it out and, you know, it'll be great. And so I got jealous cause my older brother is getting his rap song recorded. And so I said, no, I want that too. So I said to myself, you know what, Dad, I want to make a CD. And so he said, okay, then write a song and we'll record it and we'll get a CD done for you. And I said, okay, great. And that was actually when I first started writing. So I was 11 years old. I wrote my first song because I was jealous of my brother. And I saw that he was getting a recording. So I said, I want one too. and that's when I decided I wanted to do it for the rest of my life. As I matured, of course, I had better reasons for why I wanted to do it. It really became a passion for me, and I noticed that people were enjoying it. And so that was kind of like the motivation to pursuing it.
Now, are your parents supportive of your music? Because they were supportive, you know, of your brother kind of rapping, your father, you know, kind of helped him out. But most parents, you know, when you want to sing, it's kind of like, you know, you're stepping on territory that they don't want to go there. What do you say to that?
My family was very supportive. So my mom noticed that I could really do this. One time when she heard me minister at church, this one time I sang the song, I don't even know who sings the slow version, but it's called When the Spirit of the Lord. There's a Fred Hammond version, but I sang it slow, I slowed it all the way down. And when she witnessed it, she was like, oh my goodness, my daughter can sing. And my dad actually bought me my first guitar. So I think they're definitely both behind me when it comes to music and pursuing it. Yeah, for sure.
And what do you say to the people that whose parents are not behind them doing music? They think, you know what? Well, I would say it depends, right? It really depends on how you grew up because there are some parents, and you and I, let's talk church here. And actually, listeners that don't know, today we will be talking gospel music today, and we'll be talking a little bit about the church today. But let's talk, you know? Sometimes you have parents, and you know, growing up in a West Indian background, you know, oh, you either decide you're gonna sing for the church or you're gonna sing for the devil. Or if you want to sing gospel music, they're still not on board with that. And what do you say to people that don't have that supportive zone of family members or friends or even church people say, why are you singing for? You know, what do you call it? Once you get the money, you leave the church.
Well, everyone is always going to have something to say. Everyone is always going to have an opinion, and there's always a statistic. You don't have to be a part of that statistic. You don't have to be a part of the percentage that wrote a song, it became a hit, and then all of a sudden you left the church. That doesn't have to be you. I'll say that first and foremost. But secondly, I'll say if God put that on your heart to do, yeah, there's going to be people who disagree. There are going to be people who think that you shouldn't do it. And I don't want to tell anyone to disobey their parents because that goes against what God wants us to do. The Bible says to honor your father and mother. But I also think that there are ways to accomplish the will of God while still honoring your father and your mother. I think that if there is another profession that you are able to pursue and be successful in, do that as well. And then you can have your music career on the side until it takes off, and that can become a full-time job. That way you can show your parents, you know, this is possible. And so therefore I tried it your way. I also tried it God's way, and God's way is paying off so much more. And so therefore, respectfully, I'm going to pursue what God has called me to do. I feel like God has a way of bringing you into alignment if you allow him to, and what God wants to happen will happen regardless of who doesn't think it's a good idea. Who doesn't think it's a good idea? I don't know if that's proper grammar, but yeah.
That's okay. I make mistakes here on the show all the time as well too. And I agree, I get what you're saying. It's like if God is for me, who can be against me, right?
Right.
But you okay. And let's say if there are, again, if there are people that say, well, I tried. My parents just won't listen to me. They think I'm going to be cursed with the devil if I do go sing gospel or secular music. Do you say, well, like you said, you can encourage them to disobey their parents. Should they still do what they're called to do? Or should, well, I know you can't really say give up on it. Or should they just work with what's working, bun the parents?
Well, I think you also have to weigh into the matter. Are you still under the authority of your parents? Because a lot of people have the follow the principle that once I leave my parents' house, they can't really tell me what to do anymore because I am now looking after myself. And I feel like in that regard, I personally don't see an issue with continuing to pursue music if that's what you feel is what you're called to do. If you are under your parents' household, then there's a bit more of, it's a bit more tricky because you're still under their authority and you're more, I think there's more pressure to listen to them. But at the same time, I think when it all boils down, honestly and truly, if this is something that God wants you to do, then I highly suggest you pray that he will get through to your parents because they need to see the vision that God has placed in you. They need to see that this is what God wants you to do. And it would be very dangerous if they were to say, no, don't do this, even though God told you to do it, because I mean, we don't want God coming for you.
I mean, okay. Listeners, why I'm asking her this again? She already explained it, but let me tell you a quick story. Wyclef Jean, I don't know if you know him, but way back in what he called the Fugees, well known for being in the Fugees, he wanted to pursue a music career, and his father was strongly against him listening to any secular music, any. It couldn't even be Michael Jackson, couldn't even be anything, right? So he was even kicked out of the house too, to be, but he still wanted to pursue it. But his father kicked him out of the house. And growing up in a Haitian background, what do you call it? He was really, like, really, really strict with his principles. So he went to pursue the music and then, got in with the Fugees and he blew. But his dad did not come around to support the music, I believe. Until I believe this was 20 years ago, I believe, 2001, yeah, when he performed at a concert, I believe. But his father died, I believe, 2 weeks after he started coming around to supporting his music. And his father was, I believe they were pastors, his father and his mother. So I guess sometimes will they come around to, or at all, like you said, it all depends on God, right, Omega?
Right.
Yeah. It all depends on God. So listeners and anybody that wants to pursue music, go for it. But, weigh the pros and cons. If you're still under your parents' house, I would suggest, maybe singing in the bathroom, humming in the bathroom, keep writing. But if it was me, I wouldn't tell again. We're not telling anybody disobey your parents, ignore your parents, but I would still work on my gift and ask God, as Omega said, to work on them. But if you're a stumbling block to me, you might get moved eventually, or I might have to move to pursue my dream, right?
Right. It's true.
All right. And that's just a little bit of the backstory, what do you call it, to what we're talking about. But I wanted to talk as well about your music, right? You see how I made a mistake with my grammar, Omega? All right, all right.
It's
So let's talk about your music. Okay, as I said earlier in the introduction, I am not hearing gospel music that's going to take me to the prayer altar and really get on my knees and give God all of me. Why am I not hearing that in gospel music no more?
Honestly, Donovan, I don't know because there are. And I know what you mean. Like, I've listened to a lot of music nowadays that have a Christian theme, and Jesus is in the lyrics, but it doesn't minister to me. It's become, as the Bible says, a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal, or something that I can just play to occupy the empty space. But it's not really doing anything for me. It's not really moving me. And I think it could be, because I don't know for sure why, but I think a possibility could be the fact that people want to cater to the world, and I say the world meaning out people outside of the church. They want to find a way to attract the people of the world. And they do that by conforming in the slightest bit to the sound of the world. And I think that is risky. I think that can be problematic, when it comes to saving their soul, because the Bible talks a lot about entering through the door, not entering through the window. If no one can come to God except the Spirit draws them. And so I feel like if someone is meant to come to God, whether I feel like if someone is meant to come to God, they will come to Him the right way. I don't think we need to change our sound to attract souls for God.
Now, can music save people, you think? Because, okay, and yes, listeners, yes, we do have this talk. And I know some listeners are probably frowning, saying, I thought this was let's talk hip hop, let's talk R&B, but remember the etc., right? Today we're talking about church. Okay, so my thing though is, what do you got? Asking, can people be saved through music? What is your thoughts to that? Because suppose maybe People are trying to accustom the style of the music, to get people into the church. Would that work, you feel? But you said it's dangerous. But what if, you're in this industry, you have to give them what they want. What are your thoughts to that?
I believe that it's the gospel that saves. So if you put the gospel in your music, then whoever hears it has the ability to be saved. I feel like music can get them into the doors of the church, and then let God do the rest. I feel like you can also put out a song that ministers to their soul in such a way that in that very moment, they're convicted, they're pricked in their heart, and they've made the decision that I want to live for God. I think music has the power to bring people to the cross just as much as it has the power to lead someone to want to try drugs, just as much as it has the power to lead someone to want to try alcohol. I feel like gospel music has that same power to, if not more, to bring someone to the cross.
So what are your thoughts about artists like Lecrae and etc.?
To be honest, I don't really listen to Lecrae. I used to listen to Lecrae in his older albums. I think the only album I've heard by Lecrae is Anomaly. And with that, I mean, it was nice, but I was young, so I didn't really understand the words. I was just listening to the music. But I'm not much of a gospel rapper kind of listener. I'm more of what's it like a James Fortune and Miranda Curtis, those are my kinds of sounds.
Tasha Cobbs.
Not so much Tasha Cobbs,
Okay.
But yeah.
What were your thoughts when she did that song with Nicki Minaj 2 years ago?
Oh,
We do go here, right?
Lord.
I'm just you listen. I'm a neutralist, listeners. I'm on both sides, eh? So I have to ask the what do you call it, these kind of questions. And I'm just asking with the listeners because okay, Tasha Cobbs, remember I would say it's 3 years ago in 2018, she released I'm Getting Ready featuring Nicki Minaj. Now there was a lot of backlash in the Christian community, and a lot of people were talking. What were your thoughts when I know you're not really a fan of hers, but I do like Tasha Cobbs. I like some of her songs. But what were your thoughts when that song came out? And is it a Christ-driven song?
I don't have anything against Tasha Cobbs. Personally, I love her earlier music. As she started making more and more, putting out more and more music, I kind of just fell off. Nothing personal. It just wasn't clicking with me anymore. But with that particular song, honestly, where I stand is I think Tasha Cobbs and Nicki Minaj could have a relationship, and Tasha Cobbs could, witness to her. I feel like that was her intention to kind of like bring her closer to God through music. And so maybe they collabed in that way to kind of like fellowship and say, I'm not ostracizing the world, but I'm welcoming in the world. And I don't know. I don't know. I really don't know. But nevertheless, I personally, I wasn't for it. I think there are different ways that you could minister to someone, witness to someone without bringing them I want to say into a world that, okay, you have to be very careful about what you say. So, okay, I'll say this. I think Nicki Minaj, if there's no real intention to give God the glory, I don't think that there was any reason for Tasha Cobbs as a gospel artist to collab with a secular artist. Because if you carry the name, the label of a gospel artist, then I believe that there's a standard that you should uphold as it relates to the gospel and as it relates to the word of God. And so I feel like to mix with the world in that way, I feel like that can it's very risky. And I feel like I can definitely understand why there are two sides to why it was okay versus why it wasn't okay. But I guess my question at the end of it was, how does Nicki Minaj now feel about God? Like, does she love God more now that she has sung a song with Tasha Cobbs?
Well,
No? Well.
that's what I would like to know too. And then listeners, this is no judgment too. I mean, we have now where we're having gospel artists working with like YK Osiris worked with what do you call Lecrae. Lecrae's work with Dan Lay, John Legend. So is what do you call it? I get the intent of what you mean. It should be bringing, looking back, is it bringing you closer to Christ, or are we
Right.
just doing it for money, or are we
Yeah.
just doing it, to get the sales up, or on the gospel side, are we doing it to, to get the young people, crunk in with their little church heads, crunk
Yeah.
in, get a little crunk here, a little crunk there. But this might be the new culture where gospel artists is, no matter if they're hip hop gospel artists or R&B gospel artists, might be working with secular artists. So do you think that's where it's like, for example, let me maybe use a better example. If Chris Brown, let's say you get a call from Chris Brown, "Yo, Omega, I'm really digging your music. Would you like to work on a song together?" What would you tell him?
I really appreciate the gesture, but I'll have to pass.
Oh dang, with all that money?
It's
Oh,
not about the money. That's the thing.
I
Like
know,
it's about the souls, right?
I
Like I
know.
would love to develop. Okay. As an ambassador of the kingdom of God, we have to. Our job is to win souls for God. So me, through my music, my job is to bring souls to God, give God the glory through my music so people can be drawn to that light, you know? But where if I'm collaborating with Chris Brown, I would rather build a relationship with him and show him Jesus, right? Than to make a song with him because at face value, it doesn't necessarily, you don't see the, you don't see him being changed. You see, a secular artist is writing a song with Jesus in it. Just like how Kanye West wrote a song called Jesus Walks, but no one was really convicted, you know? Or someone can write a song. Anyone can put Jesus in a song and it may or may not convict, but it's all about the anointing that you carry, right? And for me, I'm concerned about the anointing. I'm concerned about the souls that are going to be a witness to this music. And if me collaborating with Chris Brown is not going to help further that agenda, then it's of no interest to me.
Fair enough. Do you think Kanye West is a Christian? What did you listen to his album? He came out almost 2 years ago. His Christian album, because remember, he's a Christian now. So he says, I can't judge, but he said he's not doing any more secular music.
To be honest, I have not listened to it, which is actually a little crazy because I'm pretty sure everyone has listened to it, but for some reason I just never got around to listening to it.
So, okay, but like you said, it has to reflect Jesus in the message. So if it doesn't, then what if Christian people, young people are saying, well, then it's boring then, because if I can't, if Chris Brown is can't feature with you in a song, you gotta spice it up. But then I get what you're saying. It is about, is the music going to draw me to Christ or draw me far away from Christ? So what do you tell young people right now to say, that's why I do not listen to gospel music? It's too boring.
Well, I mean, to each his own. Like, if you're not, I want to say this in the nicest way possible, but I don't write to entertain you, right? I'm not writing, I'm not putting out music to make you feel good about yourself. I put out music as a way to go out into the world and preach the gospel. I write music to keep you grounded in your relationship with God. If you're looking for entertainment, then I'm not the artist to listen to. Mind you, I do have various types of styles and vibes that I put towards my music, which can be, perceived as entertaining. However, that's not my goal. So if gospel music is boring you, then I think it's for that person to look within themselves and wonder, why is gospel music boring me, and where is my relationship with God at that where I can find it more enjoyable? Because the gospel music is a big component when it comes to religion, when it comes to anyone's, I don't know how to phrase this, but it's a really big component that shapes who a person is, because music has the power to change, right? And so if gospel music is boring you, then I think it's more so for the person to look within themselves and ask themselves why. I don't think it's the responsibility of the creator to entertain you when it comes to preaching the gospel.
Now with your singles, right? We'll talk, what do you call it? With your singles, you feeling comfortable, by the way, on this show?
Oh yes, I'm okay.
Okay, just what she's probably thinking, oh my goodness, here we go again. The interviewers on the people's side. Hey, listeners, I'm just being a neutral because these are conversations that young people are having in the mind listening to you, like, oh, she's so full of it. I'm not listening to gospel music. You're telling me I can't listen to you. No, we're not preaching to you. And I just want to say, this is not a judgment. This is not go get saved and dunk yourself in water and repent. This is, what do you call it? Her music actually is really good. For those people that might think gospel music's boring, I've listened to her music and I actually wanted to cry actually in
Oh.
some of those songs. So, do you want to talk about your singles?
Sure. I'll say that there's one official single, and that one is called God. That one is available on all music platforms, whatever music platform, whatever social media has an audio library is there. So that one is called God. The other little singles that I have out are not professionally recorded, but they're songs where I felt, I want to share this with people, and I'm going to share it even though it's not professional. But I definitely don't want to put it on, Apple Music or Spotify without it being professionally recorded. So I just put it on YouTube or SoundCloud. And those ones are The Weight, The Crushing, Freedom, I Will Not Fear, Grace for My Race, and I think there's one more, but those are the ones that come off the top of my head. And Lean On Me, yes.
Lean on me. Okay, do you want to talk about God and the Weight? The Weight I like. That's a very emotional song to me, an emotional meaning. See, it stirs up. I don't get, Omega, how some people think gospel music is boring. I don't
There are
get it.
so many ways that it can capture someone's attention. I don't see how someone can find it boring either.
But you know, there are a lot of young people that do find it boring where they can't get into it. But with your single, we're gonna get into it. Do you want to talk about what God is about? I mean, I know people will say, well, it's the obvious, isn't it about God?
I
But in
yeah.
case listeners want to know deeper what it's about.
Well, essentially it all came to be when I was in my first year of university, and that was in 2016. So I was worshiping in my room, and I had made the decision that I'm going to take my relationship with God seriously this time, because I've grown up in the church, but I hadn't really taken my walk with God seriously. And in that moment I said, now is the time for me to fix up and to start actually walking it out. And so as I was worshiping, I was thinking about how what's there's a scripture, I believe it's in Psalms 8. It says, when I consider the heavens, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, the son of man that thou would visit him? Like, who am I that you would find me of any kind of importance? And that really humbled me. And from that, I started to think about the greatness of God, how he holds the whole world in his hand. The universe obeys his command. His breath is my wind. His presence shakes the firmament. How great and mighty he is. And I continue to list these different characteristics of God. And I think about now how great and big this God is in comparison to how tiny we are as human beings. And he decides to put a piece of himself, his power, his anointing, his spirit within us. Like, how much of that? That's a lot of power, first of all. But why, you know? And it really humbled me, and it made me very appreciative of who he is. And so from that came the song, "We serve a great, big, wonderful, mighty, strong tower, everlasting Father, the only true and living healer, waymaker, savior, everything we need, the I am that I am," you know? And whenever obstacles come our way, we can be rest assured in the fact that when we call on the name of Jesus, who is God, that he will come to our rescue, that nothing can come against us, and we're victorious.
There's a song I used to sing in church. I am victorious. I am victorious. Do you like those type of fast-paced songs for you if you were to do a fast-paced one?
That sounds like it had like a rock and roll kind of theme. Is that what it
Well, yeah, it kind of sound like a rocking
is?
blues.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, at a rock show, but you could spice it up, maybe. Boom, 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 doo, doo. I am victorious. I am. You could kind of do the not really a rock and roll type of thing, but do you do fast paced songs within your? The Weight is another soul, but okay. The Weight was my favorite, and God was my favorite as well too. Your music, as again, as I said earlier, and even off the phone, it is really anointed. It is really like it can really so anybody that's maybe I wanted you to speak, anybody that's going through, what do you say to people that are going through depression who are Christians that they can't see no way out of their situation? It's just the same after the same. I'm tired of going to church. I'm tired. Well, really, churches are not even open right now, too, a lot. But I'm just tired of the same old, same old. My children aren't listening to me. Maybe I'm going through a bad marriage split up. Or maybe, I've been waiting for so long to get married, and then all my girlfriends are getting married, and I'm not getting married. What do you say to all those things?
Well, it's hard to encourage someone on a subject that you haven't experienced yourself. However, for whatever you're going through, there is no problem that is too small. There is no problem that is too big that God cannot handle. And I would say that you may have been praying for days, for hours, for weeks, for months, for years, and you haven't seen any change. But if God says that he will do something, then he will do it. And if you're waiting for God to even answer, to say whether or not he's going to do it, then just be persistent. You know, there's a story in the Bible that talks about a woman who constantly came back to the king and said, "Please, will you grant me this request?" And she always returned back and asked the same question over and over. And it got to a point where the king just granted her what she desired because of that persistence. The Bible says, "Ask and it shall be given, seek and ye shall find, knock and the door will be opened." So keep knocking, keep seeking. You know, if you call on him, he will answer. And make sure that you're in the position to hear him, because he could have been speaking, but we may not have been in the right posture to hear what he has to say. And also, it could be a situation where your prayer is going up to God and he's hearing you, but you know, the principalities of the powers of the air are blocking your prayer from being, but your answer from coming back down to you. So definitely keep praying and keep pushing, because he will answer. He doesn't ignore us. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, the word says, and we've never had to beg for what we needed, because he always supplies.
Amen. 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 That's a little word there to you church people listening right now, or anybody, what do you call that's listening? That's a little word there. But with COVID-19, Sue, a lot of people are uneasy. What do you say to people right now that are struggling with, the aspects of COVID-19? They can't gather and fellowship the way they used to, and the Zoom meetings aren't the same. What do you tell the church brothers and sisters right now all over the world?
I think There comes a time where we have to become comfortable with building our own altar. I'm not against coming together. I completely understand the idea of Zoom meetings not being the same. And after a while, sitting on your couch and live streaming your church becomes boring. And you don't really worship as much as you just sit and watch the people on the screen worship. But I feel like something that has helped me personally is building an altar for myself, making sure that I keep my one-on-one communication with God active. And even if it comes to having small discussions with friends and families about the Word and about the Bible, it may not be church as we know it, or as we used to know it, but it is something, and every bit counts. And it doesn't, as long as you're engaging in the things of God, and as long as you're engaging with God, then your soul will be preserved. You will be okay.
So that's a message to people there. Hang in there. I know it's not your used to be all church people, but right now, try to build your own altar, as she said, build it, and you can, and worship, and like you said, you build it. There's lots of stuff you can do on your altar, right? Lots of stuff that you can do. Okay, so I'm gonna jump around. Sorry, I'm jumping around. So when can I expect a project or an EP? Do you think that's coming in 2021? I mean, you look like, I know due with COVID and all that stuff right now, it's hard to really plan, but you look like you are a girl to give us an EP or an album.
I do have a few projects that I am working on. I don't have a date yet. But there are some things that are in the works, so you can definitely stay tuned for that. There is something coming, is coming. Just hold on
It's
tight.
coming. It's coming. And what do you want to say to the church people that are listening to your church that is listening to this interview right now?
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, saints. Thank you for your support. And definitely stay in touch. Also, thank you for all your support throughout me growing up, because that's one church that I've been to pretty much my whole life. So I really love them. I appreciate them. Shout out to Kingdom Life Ministries. And yeah.
All right, and shout out to them from this show. I already have a church. No, I'm joking. Okay. The reason why too, I was asking all that quite all those questions even earlier, right? And listeners, you might think I've been jumping all over the place today, which I have, I admit, but we're having a good conversation, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
Okay. So Omega and I've been talking, and then, yesterday I stumbled upon something, and Omega might have a lot to say on this. And probably a lot of people will have a lot to say on this too. Now, I found something. Shout out to Lisa Stanfield, I believe her name is, or I don't know if I'm even saying her name correct. But I stumbled upon this Jude 3 project of Reasons. I think it's called, if I'm looking at my notes correctly, it's called Why I Don't, what do you call it? Why I Left the Church. There you go. I'm getting tongue-tied. Now, there were four people, right? They gave their reasons of why they stopped going to church. And yeah, I do see a lot where they're coming from, and I see the answers. But what are your thoughts when Christian people really have a relationship with the Lord, leave the church? And we've talked about it a few times, but they leave the church too, probably because they don't feel satisfied no more. They're not getting what they want. Or there's just a lot of unhealthy. The one of the girls in the, what do you call it, that they were interviewed, you used toxicity in the church. So what are your thoughts when people just leave the church?
It hurts my heart. It really does make me, it bothers me a little bit, because the church, where I feel like the church is intended to be like a hospital, you know, People come because they're sick, they're hurt, they're in pain, they're in need of healing, they're in need of deliverance, transformation, whatever it is that they came to church for. They're in need of salvation from what the world has done to them, the corruption of the world. And I feel like a big part of why people would leave the church is due to the fact that the spiritual doctors did not attend to their wounds in the way that they needed to. And it's really unfortunate. And I wish if I could, I wish I could just give them all a hug and say, please, I'm so sorry on behalf of all of the people that hurt you in the church. I'm so sorry. And on behalf of the people that should have reached out to you and cared for you in the way that you needed, I'm so sorry. Because the church should be a place where you feel safe. It should be a place where you feel at home and welcomed, and not shamed for your sin, but nursed through grace back to life.
Now, it's why I don't go to church. The YouTube article was there were four people again. They gave their reasons. Okay, some said, what do you call it? And she even did a follow-up with them asking, how do you feel about not going to church? And another thing that she just listened. Now, okay, what do you think? This is another probably reason why people, because they feel like the church is not hearing their needs or hearing to what they were requesting. What are your thoughts to that when their needs were not being met at the church? Because one girl said, and some probably when her husband was, on one of the ministries too, she just got turned off to the point where I ain't doing this no more.
I would my response my reaction to their opinion, I think they had valid opinions. One person said that they left because the people didn't end up being who they said that they were. Another person said that he left because he woke up, or in other words, he became enlightened.
I'm glad you brought that up. Yes, enlightened. Like, what do you say to that when somebody says they got a wake-up call that? And okay, let me clarify this before you explain. I think they left religion because when you really leave the church, yes, you can leave the church. But when you leave Christ, that's not good. Leave the church, fine, but don't leave Christ. What are your thoughts to that?
I agree with the idea of leaving religion. I think religion becomes routine, and it becomes you can become desensitized. Desensitized, is that the word?
Desensitized. You're correct.
Desensitized to it. After a while, the routine of it all becomes tedious, and it loses its significance. It loses its power in a sense. That's one thing I love about God is whenever he makes a way in your life, he never does it the same way he did it the last time. And so I think the issue with this particular person, he says that he left because well, like you said, he left religion instead of, he didn't leave God per se, but he left the religion. And I can understand that because there are a lot of things that we do, whether it's because of culture or whether it's because we've always done it, and we haven't really taken the time to see, is this biblical? Like, is this something that we ought to do, or is this something that we do because of culture, or is this something that we do out of ignorance or misinterpretation of the text? But yeah, that's my thought on the idea of that religion.
Even listeners, there was another guy. What do you call it? When you have a pastor, what do you say that you ask him a question and he can't explain the proper biblical scripture? Like, for example, the Garden of Eden, where he couldn't break down. Like, he was saying that, I don't know if I'm correctly saying what this guy had said, that people can't really break down the Adam and Eve story, correct? It's like he was thinking it was like God purposely, not really purposely, but he set up mankind to fail. So, what do you say when a pastor or people in church can't give you the proper scriptural texting teaching of the questions you're asking about the Word of God, but they say, oh, it's in the Bible, just pray about it or ask God for revelation on it.
I think we should be patient because our pastors are also human. Our pastors at some point were in our position, and our pastors also should be given the grace to seek God for themselves and get the answer and come back to you. If they don't have the answer right then and there, I think that that pastor should say, let me get back to you because I don't want to confuse you and I don't want to steer you in the wrong direction. And the person asking the question, I don't think that it's wrong to say that you should study the word for yourself, but I also think that there is an expectation, and rightly so, for the pastor to study, to show himself approved and to know what he's talking about. But also, if he doesn't have the answer right then and there, then we should, I think, show a little bit of grace and allow him to, go and spend some time with God, get the answer, and then come back.
What's the problem with just saying I don't know?
There's no problem.
Okay, no, because some people, no, because some pastors might feel inferior that I don't know, but then I'll just tell you something to kind of hope that you'll go away. What do
And
you
that's
say
dangerous.
to
I
that?
can understand the idea of feeling inferior because as a pastor, you're the leader. You're expected to know everything. You're expected to have the answer right then and there. But there, honestly, there is no issue with saying, I don't know, let me get back to you.
And that was one of the guy's problem too. He's like, well, you hear in the Muslim faith, they tell their congregation, well, they tell their people, sorry, I don't want to use a congregation. I have to be careful in the same context that would it's different. But you know what I'm saying. What do you call if for a Muslim, for example, in their faith, they tell them, I don't know. So why is it Christians can't like if you okay, and this is to any Christians out there. If you really don't know something, just say you don't know. There's stuff
Be
I
honest.
don't know in the Bible where I'd say, listen, I don't know. And there's some stuff, and even one of the guys said there's some stuff with answers to that, they just don't know. So just say, if you really want to, if you're gonna do damage to people, don't tell them a lie or don't tell them something that you think they want to hear. Just say, Donovan or Sister So and So, I don't know. What do you call it? Or I can ask somebody else. And like you said, let me get back to you on that. And hopefully, or maybe I can pray about it, or we can pray together. Is that wrong to say it to Omega or no? If I'm
Yeah,
wrong.
that is safe to say for sure. Because it shows that you're not too proud to admit when you don't know something. It's okay not to know something. And I feel like part of the greatness of a pastor is their honesty. Like, be honest with your congregation. If you feel like it would be beneficial to pray together, then do that. But be honest with who you're talking to. I'm sure they would respect that.
Yeah, I'm sure. And if they don't respect that, well, I mean, you tried, right? You can't please everybody. And listen, and listen, I mean, although I understand the why I don't go to church, listen, there is no such thing as a perfect church. And I'm going to tell all the listeners, and if you always want to write in, you can go ahead. And I deal with this in all genres. You can write in if you don't agree. There is no such thing as a perfect church. And if you find the perfect church, let me know so I can come in there and mess it up and do a lot of things in that church because I'll mess it up. Trust me. What do you call it? No such thing as a perfect church. Do you think there's a thing as a perfect church, Omega, or no?
There is no such thing as a perfect church because at the end of the day, a hospital is meant for sick people, right? You wouldn't go to the hospital if you're not sick. So there are you're when you go to church, you're gonna find people who are imperfect, and imperfect people make imperfect decisions. But that's why we come to church, to be continually washed and renewed and to leave different than how we came.
And also too, now they followed up with them why I don't go to church. They followed up with them too when asking, how was your relationship when you didn't go to church? They said a lot better, which I'm kind of shocked at because, okay, listeners, you have to watch this, and maybe if I'll put the link on my, what do you call it, on my page. But they actually found it better. What are your thoughts when people say, you know what? I think I kind of, okay, they didn't say again they don't need church, but they've left religion. So what are your thoughts when they say they've gotten better? Of course, one guy said, you know, it kind of got a little ups and downs due to the pandemic, which is not shocking. But what are your thoughts to that?
I think it all depends on your perception. And anything can be good based on how you see it. Anything can be bad based on how you see it. You can say that you have a great life if you choose to have a good life. If you choose to see things as lessons rather than punishment, you'll think that you have a better life than someone who sees the obstacles in their life as God punishing them, you know? I feel like in terms of by leaving religion, I guess my question to that is, well, what did they pick up instead of religion? What are they doing now that contributes to them now having a better life than what they were doing before?
Well,
So
I
I think
guess
there's more
meeting
to the story as to why they thought that they had a better life.
I guess meeting the way they're meeting now and talking about and I'm laughing because what do you call it? I guess what they say. Okay, and there might be people that okay, and maybe let's talk to the Christians for a minute. I'm you see, I wish I had a talk show because I would have said, raise your hands if you found leaving the church you had a better life. Well, I could not raise my hand because I know say, and I know Omega, you wouldn't raise your hand. I don't support leaving church. I don't support that. And I'll tell listeners, I don't support that. And if you're not finding a community that works for you, find one out there that works for you. Just like if I saw a YouTube comment, if I bought a pair of shoes and I don't like the shoes, what do you think I do? I'm not going to throw them out in the garbage. I'm going to get the pair of shoes, put them on, or go back to the store and say, listen, I don't like these shoes. Can I get a different set of shoes or different colors, you know, and stuff like that? And stuff like that. You understand what I'm saying, Omega? I'm not gonna just, oh, throw the shoes out. So that's what I feel with the same with church. Don't just turn your back on the church. And I'm okay. And now listeners that say, well, I've been hurt by the church. I've been abused by the church. You don't know what they've done to me. I've been abused by the church too many a times, but you still can't give up on Christ. I think a lot of people have given up on Christ and then their mind gets, what do you call it? The hurt becomes like they think it's God, but it's not God, but it's people that cause. And they even said this and why I don't go to church. They even say people can really cause you to leave church. Please, listeners, don't let people cause you to leave church. You know what I'm saying, Omega? I don't know if you had any more to add on that.
It brought a thought to mind, and I heard this quote before where people tend to treat God as if he's the one that hurt them when it's the people that hurt them. And they retaliate by leaving God when God really didn't do anything to you. I even remember situations where I was upset and I said to God, you know, I'm tired of this. I don't want to do this anymore. And God replied back to me in that moment and said, but what did I do to you? And I said to myself, well, I guess you didn't do anything really. It was this person that did this and this and this, and they're associated with church. And so I automatically equated that to God. But God is not that person that hurt you. God is not that situation that bothered you. God is God. God is good. God is perfect. God would never hurt you. God would never do anything to hurt you intentionally, like not even intentionally. He would never do anything to hurt you. His thoughts towards you are good. Right? He wants you to be successful. But when people hurt you, we tend to take it out on God, and we shouldn't. And then that leads to us leaving God and the church rather than just going to God with our issues and healing from the hurts that the people did and allowing God to rectify the situation for you, because we don't even allow God the time to rectify the situation for us. We just say, I'm done and I'm leaving. But I don't want to discredit the pain that people have felt, because it's real, right? Church hurt is real. I think that it's important that we allow God to be God in our lives and not punish him for something that people did to us.
Do you ever think you get over church hurt? I don't. Okay. Let me be careful how I say this. I think you do. It's just like when somebody hurts you, it depends. If it's trauma, I think we learn how to cope with the situation. I don't think we ever get over it, but the hurt of it will not be so severe. Like if you hurt me, Omega, I think I will get past it, yes, but I'm not gonna hold it against you. And that's why I do think it's very important, people, to forgive people. I know it's easier said than done, but I think you should forgive it. Who cares if somebody, called you an idiot 29 years ago and it really made you cry? I don't mean who cares, as in, Omega knows what I'm saying. If it really hurts you to the point where you lost God, or I'm sorry for that, leave them to God, leave them to Jesus, leave them, take them to the foot of the cross, surrender Anthony, surrender Tara, surrender them people, and leave them to the foot of the cross. And God will deal with it if you trust him. And by the time when God deals with it, I'll be so moved on, I don't even care. And number two, I am taking you back in my life if you really caused me that much damage to the point where you made me rethink my relationship with God. Oh, no, I ain't taking you back. I don't care how sorry you are. I don't know, Omega, your thoughts to that?
Yeah, forgiveness is about, there's a quote that says, forgiveness is about past reconciliation, not future consideration. I feel like you can forgive someone and have boundaries. Like, I've forgiven you, but I'm not going to allow you to have the same kind of access to me in the future because I need to protect myself from getting hurt again.
Amen.
So there's you can you have to be wise. Like, if you don't trust that person, that's okay. They don't need to have the same amount of access to you as they once did when they hurt you. But I still think that you should forgive them.
I think so too. What do you say to people say, I can't? They did me so bad to the point, girl, you don't even know. What do you say to those people now?
Let God deal with it. Let God be God. You do your part as a Christian and forgive them and love on them as you were called to. The Bible says that I'm going to paraphrase, but if you're good to someone that hurt you, you're heaping coals on their head, right? And God said, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay it. So let God do it. And I feel like when God takes care of he'll take care of it in a way that's so much better than you could ever take care of it, right? And holding in that anger towards them only hurts you because they're going to move on, right? You're torturing yourself by harboring that bitterness towards them. So what we need to do is, I don't want, I feel like the term let it go is, it has such a bad taste nowadays. But like what we need to do is, I guess the word is release ourselves from that bitterness and release them and not allow them to take up rent in our head without paying, you know? Like that we're allowing them access to our minds, and they're consuming so much of our thoughts, and they don't need to. So we need to release them from our spirit, allow God to be God, and save ourselves from that torture, because it's not good for us. We're only hurting ourselves.
And statistics say most heart attacks are caused from anger they have towards somebody. That statistics say some heart attacks were caused for unresolved anger or unresolved forgiveness towards somebody. So, listeners, just let it go. We're not saying it's easy. We never said, what do you call it? Oh, be best friends, let's hold hands, and it's okay what you did to me. And I'm not, di it, what do you call it? I'm not throwing away the disrespect. Don't be so understanding to the point where you take them back. That's not what we're saying. And if we said that, we're sorry. But just let it go. And again, let it go, meaning surrender it to God, and God will give you the closure. Or maybe you don't want closure, but you just want to move on. Or maybe you just want to live free. I want to be free, don't you? I don't want to think about somebody that ain't thinking about me.
Right. That's a waste of my time.
Waste of my time. Well, you're having seven or nine kids, I'm
Living your
having
best
none.
life.
Shoot.
And I'm here mad. I'm here sitting on my couch upset, and you're
All right, everyone, we're back. Yes, so again, we're not discrediting that you went through a tough time, but again, I'm not going to, and I agree with something Omega said talking to me. I don't want you to be laughing, and I can't laugh because I have an unforgiving, giving spirit toward you. No, Sister Pauline, what you did to me 25 years ago, that really hurt. I'm hurt, but you know what? I choose to forgive you. But in the future, I would prefer you don't talk to me. Is that okay, or you think that's still unforgiveness?
I think there's a little bit of bitterness there.
Oh, sorry.
I
I'm sorry. Okay, what would be a
think
perfect example of Sister Pauline if you, what do you call it? Okay, Sister Pauline, what you did to me 20 years ago, that really hurt. That really hurt me, what you did. I forgive you, but I don't feel comfortable with us talking. Is that okay or no?
I would say something along the lines of, I don't see our friendship being the same as it used to be. Like, we can still be cordial with one another. I'll still fellowship with you as a sister in Christ, but I don't think that we'll be able to be as close as we once were.
Okay, Sister Pauline, and then no, I'm just using that as an example, listeners. Sister Pauline did not do anything to me. Okay, but you know what though? You're single the weight. Could that help them if they're struggling with being really hurt by people?
I think to an extent it can. The song predominantly focuses on being in a difficult position. And I don't know, do you know the song, I'm waiting down here by the river, will you
Yes,
come get a
waiting
G?
down here by the
Yeah,
river. Don't
Satan
forget, I
don't
grew
want
up
me
in
to cross. If you
church.
don't come to my rescue,
If
I'll be
you
lost. It's
come
pretty
to my
much that kind
rescue,
of.
I'll be lost. Sorry.
It's pretty much that kind of message.
Yeah.
And so I love the second verse. It says, God, you've promised me before that you would open a door. Well, I've been fighting this war and I'm trying to trust you. Lord, I don't understand what's in the master plan. Been waiting for the tide to replenish all the tears I've cried because I'm feeling dry inside. And the chorus says, if the sun don't shine and the rain don't cease, and the tears they run, and my faith is weak. If it seems I've been here for far too long, I'll stay right here till my Redeemer comes. And it's essentially saying, I've been going through such a hard time. Lord, you see that I'm crying. You see that I'm going emotionally numb. You can see that like I'm having such a hard time with the situation that I'm in, and I'm trying to trust you. I'm trying to have my to keep my faith in you. I'm trying to wait on you. But where are you? Like I haven't heard from you. I haven't seen you. I haven't seen anything. Seen you move in any way. What's going on? I'm waiting for you. But the title comes from the bridge where they say, I won't take another step until you get here. Even in my misery, I will wait here because you've come through before, Lord, I'm staying. And even though it's hard, I ain't going nowhere. And I think it's really important that regardless of the situations that we face in life, the obstacles, the trials and tribulations, we ought to just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Watch God work. Watch him come through. Watch him blow your mind. Because if we really wait long enough, he will. If we continue to pray, he will come through. If we continue to have faith in the fact that he will come through, then we'll be able to see that him come through. Faith is the evidence of things that we haven't yet seen, right? And when we continue to hold on to it, eventually we will see it. So definitely, like, the wait. It's the struggle of waiting for him to come through, but he will. But that song is pretty much just expressing the current position of the Christian who is waiting.
And again, waiting. And two, sometimes you can wait. Okay. You can have people in your life persecuting you, hurting you, but you're waiting for God. I wouldn't say revenge from your point, but you're waiting for vengeance. Okay. Let me be careful how I say this. But you're saying, God, this person's really doing a lot of harm to me. I'm loving them. I'm doing all I can, and they're really treating me bad. What do you know what I'm saying? Can the wait to relate to that too? Like you're waiting on God's, power. Like you said, God can really blow your mind, right? Yeah.
I think it can. Waiting to see what God is going to do about that situation, because he cares enough about each and every one of us to the point where if even if it's as simple as someone not treating us with the respect that we deserve, he cares about that too. And if he sees that his child is being wronged in a certain way, he will rectify it if we allow him to. We just have to continue to do our job, which is to love and to pray for that person, right? And let God be God. Like, I feel like that's the theme of today. Let God be God, because he will repay, and he is a just God, and no wrong deed will go unrectified.
Amen. So you don't, okay. So I want you to talk to the, say that again, because some people will say, well, they got away with it. They hurt me really bad and they got away with it and I forgave them.
No, you may not see how God decides to deal with that situation, but he will deal with it, and it's for us to just trust that he will deal with it. And I think it's important for us to remember that, especially because sometimes God doesn't deal with it in the way that we want him to. Sometimes someone will wrong us and we think that they deserve to be embarrassed publicly, and that's not the way that God works, at least not all the time,
No.
right? I feel like I think there was this one particular situation where I desired for someone to be rectified in a particular way. And God said, well, if you were in a situation like that, would you want me to do that with you? Would you want me to handle you that way? And I said, probably not. So therefore, I'm just going to leave it in your hands and you can do what you want. God will have mercy on whom he desires to have mercy on, but he will also rectify the situation how he sees fit. And I think that's his job, because he's God, right? He will not leave us comfortless. So in the moments where we are hurting because of that pain, because of what the person did to us, he will send comfort, but also we should trust that he will handle the situation. It's not for us to handle. Our
Amen.
job is to love.
Amen, amen. And our job is to love. And to any ladies and gentlemen that are listening, saying, I did forgive Donovan, I did Omega, but they got away with it. You guys are not getting it.
You
Oh,
don't
well.
know. You don't know what God is doing in the background.
So just trust God. And again, we're not saying let it go casually as get over it. Pray, release it to God. Just keep releasing. I know there's some things people do to us for ye that hurt years and years and years and years. Well, if it's me, I really don't want them back. Then if they hurt me to that extent where I'm still, years and years and years, then I really don't want you back. Right, Omega? All right. So what do you have to say to the listeners listening right now in 2021, where the world still with COVID again is upside down and again we're not meeting in church, but what do you just want to say to the people listening?
I would say be the light that the world needs. It's so gloomy out there in so many different ways. It's dangerous out there. It's scary. We're praying for a hope that things will get better. We're looking for help in every way except through God. And so with that, I would say, please pray. Like, please pray, because when we pray, God moves. right? When we pray in faith, God moves. So definitely can be that person who chooses to love in a world where it's so dark. Be the light that shines in the darkness. Because if everyone decides to make that decision within themselves, then our world can become such a brighter place.
Amen, amen. Do you think you'd like to sing us a chorus of God or the Wait? I think, you know what? I'd like you to sing God. Would you feel comfortable singing God just a little chorus of it?
Sure.
Okay. Anytime you're ready, you can just sing a chorus because there are probably some listeners that need that encouragement. I mean, we've been talking about it all church stuff. This is like a word to somebody that hasn't been in church since the pandemic.
Yeah. Okay. I'll sing the first verse and the chorus.
Sure.
Okay. If you want me to continue, then just let me know.
Sure, you can sing as ever as long as you would go, but just encourage our hearts. Yeah.
Okay. He holds the whole world in his hand. The universe obeys his command. His very breath is my wind. His presence shakes the firmament. How great and mighty he is. It's like every step he takes, the earth shakes. It's like every tear he sheds gives me rain. Compared to him, I'm a speck of grain, but he still chose to love me anyways. We serve a great, big, wonderful, mighty, strong tower, everlasting Father, the only true and living healer, way maker, savior, provider, king of kings, sovereign, the only true and living God. He is God.
Ooh, ooh, that was amazing, Omega.
Thank you.
Amazing, amazing. Do you want to throw out your platforms in case people want to get to know you, or maybe they want to talk to you about your singles further, or maybe they do want to talk about, just chat with you. Maybe they could relate to what we were talking about.
Sure. If you want to reach me on Instagram, my Instagram handle is omega.a.edwards. So that's omega dot a dot edwards. My SoundCloud is omega period. And then my YouTube is Omega Edwards. If you want to reach me by email, my email is omegaedwardsmusic@gmail.com.
And the Wait, God, and what other singles? Let's say if there's a listener really going through a rough time, which one should they listen to again? I know all the singles, but your favorite.
Grace for My Race is a good one. I would say I Will Not Fear. If they're going through a rough time, I would say The Weight, Grace for My Race, and I Will Not Fear. Off the top of my head, Lean on Me. Lean on Me is found on my Instagram page. I don't know if it's on SoundCloud or YouTube. I don't remember, but it is on my YouTube page. So if you go on my the Instagram TV, IGTV, it will be there.
All right. Any quick things you'd like to tell us in closing?
Well, I will say thank you for having me. I didn't say that in the beginning, but thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate this opportunity.
No problem. I can tell you're a light shining to people and you're shining in our hearts and you have a real good anointing on you, girl. Keep singing, your heart out and keep singing real gospel music and don't ever sell your soul to any and any opportunity as we talked
Amen.
about. And yeah, just keep shining bright and a shout out to you, shout out to your church and love from me. Listeners, if you do want to reach me, it's Donovan, Donovan, period, LACROXI@gmail.com. Tell me if you like this conversation or tell me if you think, nah. But, I do interview gospel artists. I do want to make that clear to the listeners because I do say etc. again. So it could be anything, right? I do secular hip hop and R&B as well too. But as well, I do open that up for the gospel artists as well because that's my roots and I never forget where I came from, right, Omega?
Right,
Okay. And if you do want to reach me on Instagram, it's DLACROXI Omega Edwards. I really, really, really want to thank you. You're a friend of the show, and I know we'll possibly have you back again.
sure, why
Great.
not?
All right, you see that, listener? She's a friend. And that's going to do it for another episode. I believe we're at episode 121. Thank you, Omega.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.